Welcome to this episode of Comics Experiment with your host, Dante Producer. For some reason, I sat behind the desk and Benny went, Dan, you're hosting today.
Yeah.
Yes! I get a day off, kind of. I'm just on the couch with Rob. The couch seemed comfy. I wanted to hang out with
Rob. It is comfortable.
I figured this time I was just going to be a moderator and let them talk since they're going to stare at each other longingly in each other's eyes.
Don't, if when you word it like that, now people are going to look for that and there's going to be some meme that goes, oh, if only you had someone that stares at comic story and like Rob stares at him or something like that. It always turns into that. Don't look at me. Oh, hey, buddy.
Hey, man.
why did we give them that? Why? Yeah.
Why? They're going to clip it now.
You Mommy's even proposed it yourself to not do and then proceeded to do exactly that.
It's romance, man. We can't help it. I don't know what you want me to say.
Anyway, guys, today's episode, we are going to be talking about the talks of, I believe it is James Gunn. Yep. Possibly going to be writing and also possibly directing.
Well, I think
the
he is writing. He's possibly directing.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
they
he's
did confirm the writing.
Did they confirm it now?
I thought the last I
read was that all of it was in talks.
But what I'd heard is that they had confirmed it that he might be directing.
Okay.
We'll just say
both to be safe so that you guys aren't jerks in the comments.
We're going to talk about him doing it anyway. So
exactly. So we're going to be talking about that. Then we're going to be going into the Heroes in Crisis. Where a lot of heroes have died, and we're going to pick heroes that we, that was going to be phrased wrong, that we want to kill.
Hey, Dan, I'm just chaining it here, but who's our sponsor today?
Well, I believe our sponsor is, we actually have two. We have our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian, where for $1 you can get early access to 3 videos a week, as well as all of our different podcasts. And we're also sponsored by our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/eligiblemonster. Where we greatly appreciate everyone that stops by, where you can follow for free, or you can subscribe to help support our channel.
Well I've trained
done.
Him well.
Yes.
Someone give me a treat to give Dan. here's your treat, a new phone.
Here's a partially drunken bottle of water.
And a bottle of water.
And a, I'm getting everything, and I got Gwenpool.
No, don't move Gwenpool. Yeah.
Don't you touch it! Don't you touch that!
Did we tell that story last time?
I think so.
Okay,
yeah, I think
so Rob, real quick, I'm going to give a little tangent.
Start with the tangent. No, definitely.
Okay, so the way that our set is set up, the set is out here, in the main area. It all feeds into a separate room so that people can get work done or monitor Twitch chat and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. That's where it all goes. So Rob is like a child.
I thought I was being sneaky.
Rob is like a child. If there's anything on the set, Rob is like a child.
Oh, yeah.
He needs to play with it.
Yeah.
Okay? You probably have noticed on many, many things. A lot of you guys like to comment like, well, is Rob messing with his feet? It's because we take all the toys away.
Yeah.
So he messes with himself. It's just what he does. He's fidgety.
The way you say that is kind of...
But there's you had one episode where it looked like you were massaging your feet for the whole hour.
Well, he was.
And half the comments are, what is Rob doing with his feet?
What?
Yeah, you never check the comments, I know, but...
He does it subconsciously. He doesn't know that he fiddles. He literally just sits there and does stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like really ADD though, so I need something to...
So anyway...
That's why we gave him a fidget spinner for the longest time.
Yeah.
But then that got a little excessive.
Yeah, so. What happened to the fidget spinner?
We had to take them away from you.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
I would just spin it. Put it in people's face.
Yeah, I did that to you once.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
so hilarious. Anyway, last week I busted open this Gwenpool figurine and I put it on this cup of coffee and I thought it'd be cool, kind of fourth wall breaking Gwenpool. And I leave it alone. And Rob shows up and right away Rob beelines his eyes like, what is this?
A toy.
And I'm like, don't touch it, Rob. I want to have it on the set. Like, we'll get you your own toy if you want your own toy.
Yeah, but I wanted to play with the toy though.
So I go off into the basically command center with all the cameras and stuff like that. And I'm looking at the camera out in the hall out here to see what's going on. And I do see Rob. And Rob gets up and he comes over and he's like. And he reaches down and he grabs Gwenpool and I just shout from the other room, don't you touch her!
Don't you touch her! Don't you move her!
Don't you move her!
It's like, what?
The best was Rob's reaction as well, like, where the hell is he watching from right now?
I was like, what? And then, yeah, I totally forgot the camera was there. I was like, damn, because I wanted to play with the toy.
That was also when we learned Rob's full name.
Yeah.
Is Robert Ross Jefferson III.
The third. It's a distinguished ass name.
It's funny because the way I did it was unintentionally, but it reminded me of if anybody watches Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Do you watch that show?
No.
There's one scene with this one guy who like the O'Poyles, and the O'Poyles have this one girl in their family, and she's got a crush on one of the main characters, but he'll never call her back.
Mm-hmm.
So one episode later in the seasons, her brothers are with her, And like they're like, so you're gonna call her, right? And he's like, yeah, I'll call her, man. I'll call her. He's like, no, you're gonna call her, right? Like, yeah, I'll call her. He's like, you will call her. And it's after I did it, I'm like, yeah, I got it pretty close to that. Yeah.
Don't you touch her!
Don't you touch her!
Don't you touch her!
The shenanigans that go on in this office.
Yeah. Fantastic. I thought it was funny in hindsight, but I was like, damn.
Like, and then Rob was like, how did he see me?
Yeah, he's really defensive.
Rob, there's a camera on that set.
Yeah. I thought I was being sneaky. Because like, there was nobody around here. And I assumed you weren't paying attention. You were just like looking at the chat, talking to the
You
chat
also
like
acted
that.
As if people were like right around the corner too. Like,
I think everyone was upstairs except for me and Rob at the moment too.
Yeah, probably.
Like no one was even
I was
down
doing
here.
Something over there because I was watching him do this.
Oh, really?
I was watching him just...
Sneaky yeah,
I don't remember. I don't remember you watching.
Sneaky Rob.
Yeah, I thought I was being pretty slick. I guess not.
Anyway, I believe we should reel things in and try and get to our first topic of the day.
Yeah.
You are right. I believe it was confirmed that James Gunn is going to be
writing. Okay.
But there's talks of him potentially directing as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
So
the problem I have with this couch is it's one of those couches that is too comfortable. Like it's got no back support, so you can't sit up proper.
No.
Oh, it's like.
You'll slouch, realize that you're slouching, sit straight, and then within 2 minutes you're like,
Exactly. Yeah,
that's why I like sitting like this.
It's like a slouchy couch.
Yeah, I can sit in like
a relaxed. So I'll do this too then.
Yep. So Benny and Rob are going to talk about this for you today.
So James Gunn, what do you think?
I'm pretty excited about it. Like, I'm pretty hyped. I mean, okay, James Gunn did some shoddy things in the past. So has everyone. It'd be different if James Gunn had actually acted on the things that he tweeted about. So... Whatever. I mean,
actually, I do find that funny. The amount of people... I didn't look into the full James Gunn thing. Okay, I didn't look into exactly what was said or what he did. Mm-hmm. But the amount of people who want to outright judge a man for what he did 10 years ago. Which, okay, fine. If you want to be that hardcore, there's so many people that they give passes to that make no sense. And the best example that people have started tweeting about is Robert Downey Jr. I mean, like, he has a 100% pass, but James Gunn did a tweet.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I get it, yes, you know, pedophilia is bad. I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah, nobody's going to agree with that
what?
Shit.
I'm reading some of the tweets that he did.
I thought we weren't recording.
Oh, you have them actually there? Because we've never even seen them.
Yeah, so one of them was, the Expendables was so manly, I effed the shit out of the little pussy boy next to me. The boys are back in town.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying he didn't say something.
Yeah, I'm not saying it wasn't wrong, but I've never actually seen the tweets.
But what I'm also saying...
Yeah, okay, so I'm starting to see the reasoning behind the firing of the tweets.
Wait,
we've actually never looked at...
Laughter is the best medicine. That's why I laugh at people...
Censor yourself on the bad thing, but...
That's why I laugh at people with AIDS.
Whoa!
Okay, James Gunn.
Well, I mean, okay. But
video.
But it's still 10 years ago. What?
Like 8 years ago.
It's still a while ago, though.
Yeah, let's not actually read these.
No. Don't go through them all.
Because they are pretty bad.
And I don't deny that. I've never denied
they're
that.
Pretty bad. He should have deleted them. But at the same time, people mature...
And that's been my argument since the
beginning. Out of that period of time. He's clearly a different person. Everyone who knows him nowadays has said he is a very different person from who he used to be and is...
That's true. I mean, like, I think if that's the standard we're going to hold James Gunn to, then we should hold everybody else to the standard of who they were when they were 12.
And that's what I'm saying.
And we should treat you that way going forward.
And that's what I feel like half the internet's doing. Like, look, if you want to be that guy that's like, no, you did this 10 years ago, Rob... So we are going to hold you to that. You do that to everyone.
Well, no, okay, but I've told you why people do stuff like that.
Oh, no.
Like,
I do want to premise this real quick with, we're not approving of these tweets.
No.
I'm just saying that right now.
But okay, the reason why people are so upset about James Gunn is you got to think of it from like their perspective, right? Like, they probably have a college degree, but they're probably not doing anything in the degree field. All right, so they have a job that has nothing to do with it. They're probably barely making ends meet.
Okay. All right,
their government doesn't care about them. They feel like they don't really have a voice. But like on Twitter, they feel like they matter.
Oh, yeah.
So suddenly all this emphasis gets put on
people. We know your argument that people decide that Twitter gives them a voice, Rob.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that it still doesn't matter. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's why people are so upset about James Gunn. It's not because of what James Gunn did. It's because their life is spiraling out of control.
Yeah. And like, so let me flip out on James Gunn.
Yeah. And that makes them feel like they, you know.
The problem I have with it is it's a double standard. It's like, oh, James Gunn messed up 8 to 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Horribly messed up. If he had did that today, outright, yes, fire him.
Yeah.
But Robert Downey Jr. was an alcoalic in prison, did multiple things, but...
Huge cokehead, if
a
I
huge
remember,
cokehead,
right?
But he's okay because we like him because he's Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a double standard. I mean, And that's the problem I
wow,
have.
Wow, you mean people are hypocritical?
Yeah, oh, right. I know, yeah.
My goodness gracious, I never heard the like.
The thing that always upset me about that one, though, is the fact that there's no way they didn't know about those tweets
yeah.
during the time that he directed two films.
Well, that's the thing. If what James Gunn said was really that outrageous, people would have been mad about it a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's just nobody cared to look it up until...
You know, and, well, and that's the worst part, too, because those tweets have been there. When yeah. he first got hired, if this was as big a deal as people want to make it out to be now, it would have been brought up. Yeah. Now, I've seen the whole conspiracy theory, and I don't know if it's true or not, because once again, we didn't even know what the actual tweets were, mm-mm. but that this whole thing got brought up as like a hit against him from like the left versus the right or the right versus the left, one of those whole things. And that's mm-hmm. what brought it to the attention, getting the right people to rally behind the tweets so that they can get Disney to fire them. Whole big thing.
Yeah.
And I don't fully know the full story, nor do I honestly care.
Yeah.
Because that's why I've never looked it up. That's why I never even looked at what he said. Because the moment someone said to me, he did this 8 years ago, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, which is what I was told, 10 years ago.
Yep.
I was like, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because 10 years ago, I was the guy overseas, you know, in war in Iraq. Yeah. Do you really think that this Benny is the same Benny that was running around with his M4?
Yeah.
Right.
Spike-haired Benny.
That's what I'm saying.
The Benny that I first met who looked like your standard gamer guy, like a rave guy.
You
like,
know what's yeah. funny about some of these tweets as well is I've heard comedians say in their acts, worse things than some of these.
Louis C.K. Yeah.
Exactly. Like there is.
Well,
a
Louis
lot
C.K.'s
of,
career
like,
also got torpedoed too.
Well, it did. But he's back, and he's been accepted back, which has been another yeah. argument in itself.
Yeah.
He well, came
the guy
to the
apologized.
Stage. So. Yeah. Well, and everyone's like, and then it came to the same argument as James Gunn, because James Gunn had 10 years, and apparently we're punishing him. Louis C.K. took about 9 months off, and everyone's like, well, it's okay. You can come back now.
Yeah.
No,
it's
mean,
the same argument. What is the time standard?
But just give it time. I mean, if after the James Gunn termination from Disney, people legitimately believed he was going to stay, like he was going to be gone from Hollywood forever, well, then I got a pocket full of magic beans that I want to sell you. Because, like, that was never going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd be foolish to believe it. Like, that's all that is. Like, the guy's made a huge name for himself. Like, I think he's got a screenwriting credit for the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yep.
He did Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Like, he did Slither. He's got all these movies under his belt that he's
also known in Hollywood.
Yeah. Like, the guy's not a small-time guy making his bones. Like, he's an established name.
So, him coming in Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited about it because I feel like James Gunn can inject the dark humor they need. Because the problem with the Suicide Squad and with a lot of the DC movies so far is they're all, like, super serious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You look at Justice League, and like the only funny, like you take Justice League, you take Batman versus Superman, you take the Man of Steel 1, you take Wonder Woman, like really, Ezra Miller was like the only funny thing in like all those movies. Mm-hmm.
But the little bit of humor he spiced in, I think proved, like as much as everyone's like, no, make DC different, it's like, you know what didn't work? Making dark and gritty superhero movies. Blade is an amazing movie, in my opinion. Mm. Blade did not make billions of dollars.
Yeah, dude. I mean like $200-something million.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we need campiness. We need fun. We need just enjoy yourself superhero movies because the content matter of superhero movies is not dark and gritty.
It depends on what story you're talking about. But yeah, I get your point.
Like, overall. I think a good example of the adding in a small amount of humor to... make, and like even keeping it somewhat serious and dark, just the trailers for Aquaman.
Yeah.
How it's got like just a small little bit of like one-liner
humor. I love
his
line, I could pee on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have just peed on him.
And it's just, it shows that just a little bit of humor can really make something look great. I mean, the movie's not out yet. We don't know if it's going to end up being amazing.
But it's a James Wan movie, so it's going to be
good. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
I think James Gunn is going to, if he makes the Suicide Squad similar yet still Suicide Squad, like the Guardians of the Galaxy, how he kind of made you care about a team that you didn't really care about before. I'm going to be excited for the next Suicide Squad. Because the first one, I mean, it wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, but I think...
The problem James with the first one is it was given to a marketing company.
Yes.
So they were more concerned with what would make for an interesting scene on a trailer than they were concerned with, you know, actually evolving the characters and making it matter.
Yeah.
And things like the last fight sequence just made no sense. Hey, let's throw water and darkness and we'll have a bunch of quick shots and you won't know what the hell's going on, but you're going to think it's cool.
But like the dust will settle and they will have won. And that's the important thing. Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be a darker, grittier version of Guardians of the Galaxy and somebody will die.
Yeah.
And that'll be the Suicide Squad. And it'll work. Because I'll be honest, like if James Gunn can do that, if he can make the Suicide Squad into his own Guardians of the Galaxy, it'll be the standout star. Like that'll be, and that's the thing. Like from what I understand, it's not a continuation. It's like a total reboot. Like it's a whole new project.
That's the debate. That's what I was going to ask you next. Do you want to see them continue? Just pull in Will Smith and pull in Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. Yeah. And then just
and
restart
just build
it.
Around everyone else. Because they're the only two that ever matter in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, in the Suicide Squad books, that's pretty much all that ever happens. They go, Deadshot, I want you to lead this team. Here's your new team of
characters. He always makes a joke like, why is Harley back on the team?
And Waller's
because Harley's crazy and we gotta, and popular and boobs. Yeah. Go.
And she sells books, So no, I mean,
that'd be amazing if Amanda Waller broke the fourth wall so that the next time Deadshot goes, why is Harley on the team? She goes, because you don't sell books.
But because it's
like in the most recent Deadshot one where they're getting abducted by aliens. And it's like, see, Deadshot, or it was Deathstroke. He's like, see, this is why you don't get a movie.
I mean, there's if Warner Brothers came out and said, okay, guys, we're rebooting the whole universe, no one's going to throw their hands in the air and say, why?
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to do that. They're going to be like, well, good, because you kind of need it. So
I don't think they are.
You don't think so?
We're all up in the air. We don't know if these are Elseworlds, incontinuity.
Well, they're calling it the Worlds of DC.
Right. What I think they're doing now, they're just putting out superhero movies. They may mention each other. They may not. I think what's changed now is the overarching plan to make everything build to this big dark side fight. I think that's gone. Hmm. What I think now is we're going to get a Joker movie. We're going to get a new Suicide Squad movie. We're going to get the next Wonder Woman 84 movie. We're going to mess with our own continuity. And I think in standard DC comic book fashion, 5-10 years from now, we'll get the next Justice League. Yeah. And it's going to pick and choose what it wants to be in those based upon what actually did well. And I think that's
not a bad idea.
I think that's why they're not definitively being like, no, we they're all in separate worlds. Everyone shut up. Mm-hmm. They're being like, it's the worlds of DC. And everyone's like, is that Elseworlds? They're like, yeah, that's Elseworlds.
Yeah, because in the entire run, if I remember correctly, in the entire run of the New 52 and DC Rebirth, Batman only ever really teamed up with Swamp Thing once.
Yeah.
And that was when he trolled him.
Yeah.
What happened to Light Descending? And, you know, so, like, I thought you said my parents were going to come back from the dead. He's like, no, they're dead. Like, they're never coming back.
that was really funny.
That was hilarious. But yeah, like, the way you say that, though, that sounds like a good idea. Mm-hmm. Like Suicide Squad 1, 2, 3, Batman 1, 2, 3, Superman 1, 2, 3, Wonder Woman 1, 2, 3, and they're totally isolated.
Yeah.
And like, you might see a Superman cameo.
Right.
It won't be like a big post-credit scene or anything like that. It won't be like this great big huge build thing. You just might see Superman like, he'll just like, as like Batman's going somewhere, Superman will just be flying through. Yeah. And that's all you get for Superman. And then you actually see that's a smart idea.
Well, because
that
about
follows
it.
The comic book pattern almost perfect.
And here's why I have that theory though.
Yeah.
The whole Henry Cavill thing came out of Henry Cavill can't make the cameo they wanted him to make in Shazam. So that tells me they're not throwing out things. They're just going, wow, Shazam's a really good movie, let's link that. And then they're going to go, oh, Birds of Prey came out shitty, don't link that.
Yeah.
You know? And yes, you could say that's Elseworlds, but I think they're all technically in the same universe. We're just going to rotate actors, and the not-so-doing-well movies are going to just not get mentioned, even though they're in the universe. Mm-hmm.
They're the Harley Quinn equivalent of your voice just kind of trailing off.
Exactly, and that's what I think they're going to do. They're just, and that's what comics do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look back to the launch of the New 52, one of the things they were building up to was this big alien invasion. They were building up to that. It was supposed to, and it was going to highlight all the characters they brought back that at the time mattered. Mm. We had Blue Beetle, like all these characters that they wanted to be in the forefront, that they were trying to make big with the New 52. They were the leaders of it. They had Grifter. Grifter was leading up on that one.
Oh, from Wildstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what ended up happening was those books didn't sell.
Yeah.
So instead of going towards this alien invasion, they just scrapped the whole thing. All those plot threads got left hanging and they moved on. And we went towards the Trinity direction, which was supposed to be a mystical Pandora versus the sins of the fathers, or whatever. Oh no, that also wasn't doing well. Crime Syndicate. And if you've been reading comics like as intricately as we do, where you're literally looking at every storyline, you can see the things that they were implying that never happened.
But see that, okay. Like, if that was the case, though, if they changed the idea of Trinity on the fly to lead into Forever Evil, then they did it, like, that was a genius move. Because it's literally, like, a last page reveal of Earth 3 Alfred, who has Pandora's box.
If you look at the story, the Earth 3 reveal came out of nowhere. Like, in general. And it is a great, what?
Yeah.
The Trinity plot with the original Sin characters, Phantom Mask, Phantom Stranger.
Phantom Stranger.
The Question.
Yeah, The Question and then Pandora.
Yeah. Went into its own book that no one knows exists.
Oh, I knew it exists. I just never read it.
But I'm saying, you and I, the only two. Like, no one know. I get questions to this day, what happened to Trinity? And I'm like, she went in her own book for 12 issues, and they explored who the question was, the Phantom Stranger was, and Trinity, and no one read it, and it got canceled, and that was the end of that whole plot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because no one cared about Pandora. She showed up at the beginning of New 52, and that's why they did the little retcon. Barry, it wasn't you that messed with the timeline. Flashpoint wasn't you and Pandora. Flashpoint was you and...
Manhattan.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where all that came from.
Yeah, they've done...
Because Pandora didn't do well.
Yeah, so they wrote her character out entirely. Yeah, Manhattan killed her, like, right off the bat. That was one of the smart moves they made at the beginning of DC Universe Rebirth. Was like, okay, so, like, all these plot threads, zap, zap, zap. Like, they're all dead and done, and that's it.
And the fact that they just nuked her like that proves...
Yeah.
Like, she shouldn't be here anymore.
Yeah, and nobody talked about it either. Like, she was just dead, and nobody...
Because no one liked her.
Yeah, nobody was like, what happened to Pandora? I wish they would bring Pandora back. She was such a great character.
Think about this for a second. Like, Pandora was a girl who wore a red trench coat, lived forever, and used guns.
Yeah.
Wow, that's unique. She was basically DC trying to make Dante.
Yeah, she was like...
Devil May Cry.
She's like the immortal Punisher.
No, she was Dante from Devil May Cry without the sword. That they were trying for.
Yeah, but I like my example better.
Okay.
So, I don't like Devil May Cry.
So back to the...
Gary likes mine.
Yeah. Well, of course Gary's going
to
like that one.
Why did you give your water to Dan?
Did you drink it?
No, I've been drinking this one.
Oh, okay.
I have a mine next to here to signify this mine.
Oh.
Why, is it wrong if I drink yours?
I was just curious.
If I drink it, you'll have comic story and germs, and then you'll be like 10% better.
You're so funny.
I like to think I am occasionally.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you were so funny, you wouldn't have to laugh at your own jokes.
I know. I know that joke. I know that from Doug.
Yeah, damn it. I was hoping you wouldn't realize
that. I know where that came from.
Damn it.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what, Roger? If you were funny, you wouldn't have to laugh at your own jokes.
And he's like,
Self-esteem just totally crashed. That's
I think that the same thing Nelson in The Simpsons. Why do you laugh at everything? He's like, because my dad left me.
That's the
it was something like that.
It's like the saddest thing I've ever
and
heard.
And he did it like, oh.
Did you guys see where South Park apparently got canceled Simpsons trending?
No.
Yeah. They had an episode. It's something that they did where they made fun of The Simpsons. Like, they ended it. They just said, like, hashtag cancel The Simpsons. It's like they got it trending on Twitter.
Well, because Comedy Central was trending cancel South Park.
Yeah, that was their promotion for the new season.
Okay, that's probably why.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. I was like, damn, they're trying to get The Simpsons canceled.
So, what do you think, Dan, about multiverse, Elseworlds, that kind of thing?
That kind of, we're past about, the about Suicide the, Squad thing.
Well, no, the DC Cinematic Universe just turning movies into Elseworlds.
Because I think
so
with the way that they do it in the comics, they very much do kind of pick and choose the stories that they like. And I think it's better for them to do this because that's how Marvel started. Marvel didn't start with an overarching, everyone's in the same area. It was more of they did their Iron Man movie, they did their Captain America movie. They had their different movies and then they did well and then they merged them.
Yeah. Well, they put in little Easter eggs to let you know they all did share a universe.
But exactly.
You didn't see Captain America in an Iron Man film.
Exactly, yeah, and they never really clarified if it was that one. They just implied that they did exist in that universe. And I think the way that they're going to do it now is perfect of do their separate movies, figure out which ones people like, then make some sort of cosmic event that basically explains why things got altered, and that's why Batman's a different person for some reason because he came in from over here. But we still have Wonder Woman over here, Gal Gadot, I believe her name is. Yeah, because I mean, she's amazing. You can't get rid of her. She is Wonder Woman. Like, you can't get rid of that, but you need to have an explanation for why they would all come together. And multiversal events is it's the best way to do it. Yeah. And it's the perfect DC way to do
it. Okay, then let me ask you this question. Let me ask you guys this question. Do you guys think that DC is too late to the superhero movie train?
No.
I think they can redeem themselves still.
Okay, because here's the reason why I asked that question. Because while you were saying that, I was sitting here thinking at the same time.
I don't like the couch. Like, the slouch does not work for me.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like Iron Man 1. All right, or was it Iron Man 2? Iron Man 1.
Stop.
The one where Pepper goes to... What are you doing,
I was trying to see if I could distract you.
Oh.
Success.
The one where Pepper... Maybe it's Iron Man 2. But it's the one where like he has Captain America's shield in the background.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, I think it was 1. It was
Iron Man 1, yeah. And there's Captain America's shield. Yeah, because Coulson comes to see him. And No. That was Iron Man 2. Because Coulson comes to see him and he's like, what are you doing with that? He's like, I'm leaving. So yeah, that was Iron Man 2. Because that's...
I think it was 1.
No, it's 2.
I think it was 1.
Someone in Twitch chat, let us know which Iron Man that was.
But, maybe it's Iron Man 1 because Pepper comes down. No, Coulson comes down because he asked him about it. No, it was Iron Man 1 when it first showed up. It was Iron Man 1 when you first see it.
One. People are saying
and then
2.
And then Coulson picked it up.
Everyone like in chat saying 2. So.
Iron Man 2? Okay, cool.
1 had the first cameo. 2 had more of the cameo. The shield comes back.
Okay.
That's why I brought it up. It's in both.
Okay, yeah. And then, okay, cool. All right,
in
that's
one, it's
why.
In the background.
So you're
comments.
Both right.
Yeah.
They touch it in the second one.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, anyway, so like that. Like, I remember being in theaters and seeing that, and it was like, oh, my God, that looks like Captain America's shield. And, like, I remember going and seeing each of those movies, and, like, from that point going forward, when you saw Captain America's shield in the first one, and then you get to the end of the post-credit scene of Avengers, or of Iron Man, and Nick Fury says, like, I want to talk to you about the Avengers Initiative, then it's just like, all you do is look for Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just becomes a giant Easter egg hunt in all of the MCU movies. Well, the question I have now is, well, what now?
Well, see,
like, where do you go from there? Like, what's the next gag that
they've gotten rid of it. They don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. I mean, there's no
they point. They don't
like,
need to.
Well, that's the thing. But like, you didn't watch Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, I mean, I guess you saw the Quantum Bands in the collector's room. But that's what I'm saying. Like, building up into the huge multiverse. Like, it's not as though you went to other realities, saw other versions of characters. It's not like there was any indication that, like, Annihilus exists. Mm-hmm. Like, there are no Easter eggs there. And so now, it almost kind of feels like superhero movies have kind of grown stale. Because, like, there's nothing to look forward to.
Right.
There's no, I'm going to see this because it's something more than just Thanos wiping out half the life of the universe, which served no real purpose anyway. But, like,
what was the first one that they got rid of the post-credits scene linking to the Avengers? And it was just for fun. What was the first
Thanos? Or no, I'm sorry, Thor. I thought Thor 2.
Was it Thor 2 that they stopped no. linking the post worlds together?
Because Thor 2, they took it to that was them taking the ether to the Collector.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That had nothing to do with it.
I was saying the post credit scenes. Even when the movie didn't, they would have still linked together to this big overarching thing. And
oh
they
yeah.
They stopped doing it.
That's
eventually.
Right. Because the post credit scene for the Incredible Hulk movie with Edward Norton. Was Iron Man went to go see Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm working on something.
So the post-credit scenes were the fun part because they were linking together that big Avengers reveal.
They were telling a story. Maybe it was after the Avengers they started.
There was one movie, and I remember they made a big stink of why doesn't this link towards Infinity War, and they were like, well, we didn't want to do it or something like that. Like, But then they stopped doing it. They just stopped linking the post-credits together.
Honestly, but that's what I'm saying.
I feel like that's kind of for the best. Part of me feels like trying to create... They should focus on movies individually. Well, they should make sure that the movie is solid by itself, and then as time progresses, let them connect together.
Well, that's why I asked the question.
I feel like forcing it in there just... It also kind of discourages people who can't go to the movies all the time.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to go, well, crap, I didn't see that one that I was told connects to this one. Like,
but the post-credit scenes were never that essential to begin with. You didn't
yeah,
have. I mean,
but that's your opinion. Some people look at them as like that's the whole reason to go see the movie to see how it pieces together in the whole.
Okay,
movie.
Yeah, that I could see. Mm-hmm, but I'm saying like if you miss one, it's not the end of the world. Like it doesn't destroy the impact that Avengers has on everything that's going on, or how you perceive it. And so, but that's why I asked like because the MCU it doesn't feel new, fresh, or vibrant anymore, and because it's not new. And it's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And it's been the same characters.
We're celebrating 10 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And it's been the same characters nonstop. So then you have DC who comes along and they say, okay, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe has had this massive amount of success by having one shared universe. They're exploring the multiverse with Doctor Strange. Living Tribunal will probably pop up somewhere along the line. We've had all these things going on. So like let's try our hand at that. And it didn't work out. And they said, so we're gonna go the opposite direction. And we're gonna do self-contained movies. And at some point, possibly link them up. My question is, what do they hope to gain out of that? Because if the general feeling that I have, for example, as a superhero moviegoer, well, okay,
100% no.
Yeah, I see
I know
money,
you missed
but,
this.
Yeah.
They also announced a Sinister Six show.
Yeah, I saw that.
But it's not linked to anything.
CBS or somebody like that.
And won't be linked to the CW universe. Won't be linked into anything.
It's a Secret Six show.
Yeah, a Secret Six.
Yeah,
but it's its own thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's literally that's what I hate about WB owning DC. Well, vice versa, Marvel made Marvel Cinematic Universe. They had a proven track record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they just want money. And that's the worst part. Because they're like, well, the whole joint thing didn't work. Do Joker. Do Wonder Woman 84. Do Aquaman. If these all work, we'll build towards something else.
Yeah, see, that's the issue that I have is because It was when you were going and seeing the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you knew it was building towards Avengers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as Iron Man 1 did well, they said, okay, so that we're actually going to implement this plan we've had, and we're not going to put it on the back burner forever. So they were like, Avengers is the movie that you're going to see. That's going to be the big team-up film. And so everything you saw going after that was, okay, we want to see what that leads into, and we want to see how the Avengers form. The reason why it's the biggest, like, the highest performing superhero movie of all time mm-hmm. is because it's so spectacular. Well, maybe Black Panther didn't beat it out, did it?
No, it didn't. I told you that. It got very close. I remember and I had that big debate. And I was like, everyone didn't catch up.
I thought Black Panther was going to beat the Avengers, to be honest.
That was the whole argument I had. And it did very well, but it didn't beat it. But maybe Infinity War did.
Maybe Infinity War did.
I'm looking right now to see what Infinity War pulled down.
Yeah. But nonetheless, like it was exciting to be a part of the adventure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Infinity War got $2.4 billion.
Okay, yeah. That crushed. Not really crushed, but it did beat out Avengers, yeah. But it was fun to be part of that adventure.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why superhero movies at the outset were so captivating mm-hmm. is because people were following a part of this adventure. They were like, I'm following the post-credit scenes. I'm looking for the Easter eggs. Like, it's just amazing. Like, going to see Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3 or Captain America or Thor, it wasn't about just going to see the characters. It was a full-on adventure. Because you were looking at like a lot more than just the characters in the story. Mm-hmm. You were hunting for small little Easter eggs that might tie in a future movie.
That's why you would watch them 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Even when they sucked, like Thor 2.
Thor 2 was not very good. And with those things, it was a super exciting experience. But now it's just kind of like, okay, so we've got Infinity War. All right, we'll see if they can restart the process mm-hmm. and they can make a small tweak here or a small tweak there that will adjust the formula enough to where it feels fresh and new, but still familiar. And we basically go through the whole process hunting for Easter eggs all over again.
Yeah.
That's what would make it fun. In DC, you don't have that. It's individual movies. So it's just a whole bunch of Batman movies and a whole bunch of Wonder Woman movies. And there's nothing about that that would drive me to want to see it outside of I like the character.
I feel like DC rushed it. Because they did have all those individual ones that kind of had their own story. But then all of a sudden they were just like, hey, by the way, they're all together and they're doing Justice League.
Yeah.
And well, I felt like they
everyone agrees
have...
they rushed it. Yeah, everyone agrees that they were like, oh, that's huge. Let's make we have Justice League. Screw it. Why build towards it? Everyone knows who they are.
Because I'm kind of hoping with the new ones that they are coming out with, like with Aquaman, that they do kind of do that, of the small Easter eggs that may lead into some bigger event that will correct everything to make it go, hey, here are the ones you liked. Now we're putting them together.
Yeah, and see, that's why, to me, I kind of think that DC, that Warner Brothers and DC looks to the superhero movies as they all have to be like Avengers level. What the hell are you guys doing?
I don't know, he started looking at me.
He just kept staring at me.
So
like,
I stared back at him.
But it seems like they all kind of look at them like they all have to be Avengers. Like the Aquaman story looks like Throne of Atlantis, minus the Justice League.
Oh yeah, definitely does.
Yeah. And so I look at that, and I'm like, but Throne of Atlantis would be like a whole movie in and of itself with all the Justice League. Are you okay?
I just want to see how long before he questioned things.
Oh, okay. he did it pretty fast.
I questioned fast. The setting you minute you sat down in that couch is when I started questioning.
For the record, I have found a comfortable position to sit to make this work now.
Yeah, it's sometimes you just keep moving, and Robin and I are like,
yeah.
I've been trying to get comfortable. No. I don't sit on the couch normally.
No. But yeah, no. See, like to me, I look down, and I sit down, and I say, okay, Aquaman... The movie will be awesome, but like, that could be like a Justice League movie, like the Throne of Atlantis.
Yeah, but I'm fine with it being Aquaman. Oh yeah, they just need to get those ducks in a row.
I'm fine with it too. I mean, if this was like MCU, if they were on the MCU's level, then I would say no.
Right.
That needs to be a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
Do not make it to an Aquaman.
I mean, it's almost like you'd say, hey, Civil War needs to be an Avengers movie.
Yeah, exactly. And not a Captain America story that no one else appears in. No. That was a Winter Soldier.
There was eight people.
Yeah, no, there were eight people. But like, it's not a Civil War. It's a reasonable disagreement is what it is.
It was basically Poker Night went bad. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, Captain America, everyone slightly miffed. And like, that's you know.
Everyone slightly miffed.
Yeah, and that's...
Can I get some Photoshop, take the Civil War poster, mm-hmm. and just change it to Captain America, everyone slightly miffed?
Slightly miffed, yeah. That's everybody's just a little grumpy, you know?
Everyone's a little grumpy?
Yeah, and it's just like, all right, this is not really a Civil War. Like,
so, Captain America, Tony let the milk go bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Tony left the toilet seat up and Black Widow's pissed. You know? Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like it's just, it would be something like that, but still... Like, I'm afraid that what DC is going to do, what Warner Brothers is going
to
do.
Oh, the chat would like you to remember. Remember when you said Civil War had to be a phase?
Oh, I thought it should be a whole phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Civil War, like, I think if Civil War should have been like a phase 8 or phase 9, a whole phase unto itself. When you've got like this huge, expansive superhero.
It should have been. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because then you could pull in some crazy cameos. Like, exactly. There's Robert Downey Jr. just flying in as Iron Man for one scene, but we'd all be like, ah!
Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, exactly, or something like that. Like, you've got Iron Fist, and you stretch it into like Netflix and all that kind of stuff. I mean, Netflix, the TV budget could not afford to have the Iron Man suit. Right. Even just fly through a scene. That would destroy the whole budget for the show.
It'd be like a Halloween costume on a mannequin in the very background.
Yeah, just see it kind
it would
of
just be a shadow. You just see the shadow and you're like, I'm pretty sure that was Iron Man flying above, but it was...
The shadow kind of looked like him with the ridges. And
so, okay.
James Gunn to DC, that went pretty far.
To finish my final thought here.
Okay.
The only concern I have with what Warner Brothers is doing right now is I'm afraid they're going to take all the biggest and best stories, and what could be Justice League movies or team up movies, they're going to make into individual movies. And by the time they get to a point where they want to do a Justice League movie, what's there to do? Aside from Darkseid War. Like, I don't know.
But that's all we need right now.
Yeah.
If you build all of it to Darkseid War, and the biggest concern we have after all of these crazy awesome movies is, what's next? I'm on board.
No, okay, see, that would be a good idea. Do all these solo movies, and then along the way, do like, lead up to Forever Evil, and just have, like, worlds being obliterated. Like, you literally just have, like, a post-credit scene that's like, this reality is obliterated. Like, this... Okay, remember in Hickman's Avengers and New Avengers? I'm sorry, I'm really passionate about this.
Remember,
it's almost like you're the comics explain guy.
Yeah, comics explain guy. You remember in Hickman's Avengers and New Avengers when Reed Richards creates the bridge where they can look into other universes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they show other members of like the Illuminati and stuff like that? Do that. Post-credit scene is one Justice League on one universe and their world gets obliterated. And then it's Justice League on another universe and their world gets obliterated. And it's just somebody's going through wiping out universes.
Or you could easily just do it like a CW show did when he first went into the multiverse and they had those little homages to the classic Flash show.
Well, no,
the reason why
I say that is because what you do is like somebody's going around destroying universes. All right, that leads into Justice League Forever Evil when the Crime Syndicate invades.
Yeah.
And the Crime Syndicate shows up because you find out who's been destroying these universes is the Anti-Monitor. And so like that's what all these post-credit scenes have been. Mm-hmm. Because that's what starts building mystery. People are like, why are these universes being blown up? Like, why are these whole universes being eradicated? And who's powerful enough to do it? And so then that goes into the Anti-Monitor, goes into Forever Evil. That goes into another series of, you know,
if you really want to build the mystery up, the first one just says, meanwhile, on Earth, insert numbers, or Earth 43, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You just see a different Bruce Wayne, a different Clark Kent, and Clark lands and goes, there's nothing we can do, can we? And Bruce is like, I've tried everything. There's no fix to this. And then just,
And it all just gets
And then
away.
Everyone's just like, what was that?
Yeah, and just do that each time. Yeah. Like Diana Prince became Superman or Superwoman or whatever it is. You know, and just do that over and over and over again. And that's your post-credit scene. And then you go into Justice League 1. And it's basically Forever Evil. And it's against the Crime Syndicate of America. Post-Justice League 1, you go into the next phase where you basically lead into the Anti-Monitor is going to invade Earth or something along those lines. Whatever the case is. But like, there's ways to build it up and make it work.
Yeah.
I mean, doing individual films, I'm just afraid that they won't do that.
Yeah. They're scared of it now.
They're scared of it, yeah. They're scared. They're scared of losing money and failing. Yeah. And so
speaking about the DC worlds, I'm going to use that as a segue. Uh-huh.
To the next topic.
Heroes in Crisis.
No, Batwoman's costume.
Actually, I'm on board.
I have one complaint. I think it looks amazing. Her makeup is on point. She looks like Batwoman.
The wig looks perfect.
Am I crazy or is the cowl a little too big, too high up?
Looks like her
forehead is huge.
I kind of want to look it up.
I'm going to pull up so you can see it.
I wasn't a stickler for that. No, Ruby Rose looks incredible as Batwoman.
It looks spot on.
It does. It looks amazing.
And between that and the Aquaman orange and green, it just says to me that DC's finally realized, hey, maybe we should make them all look like
Superheroes.
The comic books. See, now my complaint is that
characters.
It looks
the cowl's a little high up because they're trying to get too much Batman in there.
Yeah, you can really see. Like, if you took her hair off, you would go, that's Batman's mask.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see the complaint, but at the same time.
She's Batwoman.
Defense of that, she kind of.
In the same regard, it looks spot
on. She's a chick with Batman's costume. So, like, no, dude, between the wig, she looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like, she looks amazing.
But between that and Aquaman, it's almost like someone sat down at WB and they're like, why are we doing everything in black leather and super dark and you can't see the bat symbol?
Yeah, his name is Jeff Johns. So, no, I don't know. So, yeah, somebody somewhere had to have asked. It seems like DC's kind of getting it in gear and saying, okay, fine. I guess, you know, or at least not really DC, Warner Brothers. It's like, okay, fine, let's make actual superhero movies. It's like, yeah, because then they'll perform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll make lots of money.
I mean, just look at the Wonder Woman costume. How much brighter it got as things are going on and what it looks like in 84. Like, they're really trying to be like, oh, we should make it look like they do in the comics. That just makes sense.
It works for Batman, but everyone else, it's like dark gritty. Yeah. It doesn't really work.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was somebody's idea. I was like, well, we should make it dark and gritty. It's like, why? Well, because, I mean, Batman sells and his comics are like that.
They were
like,
basically like, oh, DC's Batman, therefore everything's dark and gritty.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of the costumes, though, it's almost like there's two different teams working on the different costumes. Like, there's not one, they needed some overarching person that's like, make them all look like the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because even though Titans, first two episodes came out, everyone loved it. Everything's going crazy, great for it. They already got a season two. If you look at the reviews, everyone's like, it's great. It's on point. The emotional level is perfect. Everything is not what we expected. Why does Starfire still look like that?
I am going to judge
you looking
after.
For a good time. Like,
at least Beast Boy.
I'm
like,
sorry,
okay,
Starfire.
He's close.
Yeah.
I'm going to save my judgment until after I see the episodes.
Yeah. As of the time of filming this, guys, if you're wondering, the episode has not aired. We will see it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be talking about it on our Monday podcast, which is our CTV, which will go live on Wednesday on Comic Historian,
yeah,
talking about the Titans first episode. But as of right now, everything but everybody says is amazing.
Yeah.
And then and every time I'm like, oh, great, I'm so excited. It's like, Robin looks great. Raven looks okay. Beast Boy looks okay. Starfire!
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Why do you look like that, Starfire?
The wig is the worst part.
Yeah, it looks rough.
The wig is, though, I am perfectly fine with, like, every other thing they do for her and her glowing orange. Why that wig?
Yeah.
That is the worst.
Anyway, into our second topic of the day.
How many minutes are we in?
We are 40 minutes in.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
So not
too bad. I thought
we
were close to, like, an hour.
Yeah.
I was going to say, or that's the next episode.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Heroes in Crisis is a current event going on in DC Comics,
yes,
where we have a couple of very large names getting killed.
Yeah.
So we've got Wally West, okay, we've got Roy Harper.
Yep.
Those are the only two big ones as far as I'm
aware.
Everyone
else
is small guys after that.
So yeah. I was going to explain something that happened because Rob's unaware of this, I guarantee you. Because DC, when I had the interview with Scott Snyder, I said their job is to keep everything linked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the latest Green Arrow was the funeral of Roy Harper. That's all it was.
Yeah, I did not see that.
It's awesome. It's amazing. Because Ollie is basically pissed at the Justice League because he trusted them to take care of Roy and they killed him within a week.
Yeah.
So he like punches Superman. He's like, I'll break my hand, Ollie, over. It's a really emotional, really good issue, but they're reflecting on it.
Yeah.
And then we have I just read Red Hood, Outlaw. And that is amazing because what they're doing is they're dedicating whole issues to everyone dying, but they're still linking in the storylines because in Red Hood, he's still tracking Underlife and he's still doing things. But, and this is kind of spoilerly, because I got to explain it to Rob, so I do apologize to anyone who has not read Red Hood Outlaw yet, because it did just come out yesterday.
Well, no spoiler for me.
You're not going to read it. You don't read Red Hood.
Yeah, dude, I'm current on Red Hood.
You sure?
I mean, current from, I'm current insofar as I got caught up when Roy Harper said he was going to go to Sanctuary. But I'm current in the sense that, like, Artemis and Bizarro are basically gone.
Okay,
like, they're outside.
So you do know what's going on.
Yeah, they're outside the
multiverse.
Going on.
And all the only thing I'm going to spoil is it's the issue's kind of broken in two halves. One continues the plot, and the second half is he gets the news. I won't say who brings it or what happens.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't spoil
but it's
that
also
for me.
Super emotional, and I love the last page. The last page is great because the first page opens up on something, and the last page links it all
I
together.
I feel like it would be Batman who would bring the news.
I'm not going to spoil it. You don't want me to spoil it, so I'm not going to bring it to you. But
yeah, don't spoil it.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
But I feel
it's
like
an
it would
emotional
be
issue, but it's great because they're reflecting on everyone's death. And we did get a message on the Facebook. They were asking, like, why is Wally not? Wally's, the Flash family will reflect on it in the annual.
Okay.
So they haven't yet because he's in the middle of an arc.
Yeah.
But it is
yeah.
coming. They're going to be reflecting on it.
The Strength Force isn't, that's not a required, that's not required reading, is it?
Strength Force?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay, I don't think so.
Because they're already done with that. They're on the Sage Force.
Sage Force. Oh, Sage Force, yeah.
Yeah. It will probably be in the end, but not, just so much in if you're curious how they work. That's okay. All I would say.
Because I really, I mean.
That's
I,
the biggest reveal we've gotten out of the Strength yeah. Force was how it works. And the biggest thing is they pretty much realize these new forces need an outlet, so they're looking for people to go to.
Okay.
That's pretty much the biggest thing we got out of that.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Flash gets it, and he realizes that if he just exerts it, it can kind of settle down and doesn't, like, blow up shit, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, nothing crazy. It just explains how these things work is what's going on right now, so mm-hmm. you're good.
Okay. Yeah.
And so one thing I did want to say about the Heroes in Crisis, which is being written by Tom King,
yes.
is that at New York Comic Con, I believe,
yep.
he stated that he will not be bringing them back.
They're dead.
They are dead.
He will not be bringing
that,
them back.
That is the trick.
It's
that
not
is
happening
the...
in Heroes in Crisis. There is no time travel shenanigans that's going to bring everyone back. As far as DC Universe is concerned at the moment, they are dead. and they're going to stay dead for the there's no definitive plan to bring them back at the moment.
No, I can tell you exactly what what's gonna happen. Doomsday. I can tell you Doomsday Clock. I can tell you exactly what's gonna happen.
That's what I'm thinking.
And the most recent Doomsday Clock that like Dr. Manhattan sat down and was like, here's all the things I changed. And something's gonna happen, and Superman's gonna say, change it back.
Yep.
Like go back and undo it. And he's gonna be like, okay. And like something will happen and he'll be like,
I can totally see Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Or he'll change it back and be like,
definitely, he's like, all right, bro.
Yeah, I got you, man. See, that's how you fist bump, Dan. That's how you fist bump.
No.
But it's like yeah, it's
you
like,
gotta
all right,
mess
bro.
With him. It doesn't work if you don't mess with him.
Oh, okay. All right, ready? I don't know how to mess with a fist bump.
Yeah, I was trying to mess
You can only
with
mess with him when he initiates it.
Yeah, bro! Buddies!
The good old knuckle slap.
Knuckle slapping. No. It'll wow. Yeah, no, okay. So we know that Doomsday Clock. God, dude, I don't know why I keep putting my keys in my back pocket.
Who puts their keys in their back pocket?
I don't know.
You gotta sit on that.
Yeah, I know.
And they never flatten. One always sticks up.
It hurts. It really hurts.
And Rob's like, I've been sitting on this for the last hour that we've been filming.
Yeah, not damn, son.
Yeah, no, so Doomsday Clock shows like how screwed up things are for the most part. And so, like, I figured, I believe that's what's going to happen, is it's like, Manhattan will go back, and maybe Ozymandias, maybe Superman, whoever changes it, but he'll go back and he'll say, fine, then I'll just let things happen the way they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then what that'll do is it'll have everything going on from the time that Alan Scott was supposed to become the Green Lantern, the JSA will form, all that kind of stuff, and then that will go into, like, the return of the original JSA that we all know and love.
Yeah, I can see that.
That'll go into Flashpoint happening. Like, they'll basically go back and they'll say, here's how things were supposed to happen after Flashpoint.
So kind of like he'll go back and be like, you know that 5 years that I took away? Go actually experience
yeah,
in this.
Yeah, everybody's memories will be restored and everything will be fixed. It'll be just this huge cleansing thing.
Oh, you know, I'm waiting for the big reveal of certain characters like Ollie and Black Canary getting back the memories of the marriage.
Yeah.
You know,
like, and getting back memories of like Connor Hawke.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, everyone getting those memories back.
Yeah, because then the question for them will become like, well, where's Connor?
Yeah.
So they'll have to go find Connor Hawke, which will give writers
I do want to say, because there was a couple comments about the, wasn't Flash supposed to get his own book? It was supposed to be Wally. It was the theory. No one knew if it was Wally. We just knew there was a second Flash book coming. Yeah. I think it's the Brian Michael Bendis Impulse book.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
I was thinking
that's the second Flash book.
I think will be the smartest move.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so anyway, with Heroes in Crisis, we thought it would be a fun idea today for us to pick heroes that we could kill.
Yeah.
Okay, so who? I'm going to go first.
Yes.
Damien.
But he's already died before.
No. But this time he legit dies. Remember last time when Batman freaked the hell out trying to revive him, and he did?
Rescued him from Apocalypse, didn't he?
Right. Damien dies and immediately turns to he gets dusted by Doomsday, by Manhattan. So there's no return.
Wow.
So Batman officially loses his son. So you have to have the funeral of the son. You have to have Batman coping with that. And if Tom King were smart, he'd do it right now. Because Batman just lost Catwoman. He just lost Dick Grayson. And then you kill his son.
Yeah. And then you can also throw in there of Jason comes back and starts being like, wait, so just because it was your son, you're acting like this. But when I die.
Yeah. No, I got it even better. I got even better just to mess with one of our freaking viewers. John Superboy and Damian both go down. So now we have to deal with both Batman and Superman both losing their children at the same time.
Well, see, I would have killed Jonathan Kent.
Well, kill them both.
They
both go down.
No, that's what I'm saying. My pick would have been Jonathan Kent.
Okay.
To kill the son of Superman. Yeah, because then he would spiral out of control and just lose it. And like Lois wouldn't be able to calm him down. He would just be like you would see something akin to Injustice. Like, see Superman just lose his mind and go crazy.
Yeah, in mine, I would have two parents consoling each other over the loss of their children.
Oh, I'd want to see Superman lose his shit. Just go crazy.
See, I would want
to. So, Injustice.
Injustice.
What do you think?
But I love Injustice, so that's why.
You both chose, like, the best two to kill off.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was another good option, even though we did just lose Roy Harper, Red Arrow.
Yeah.
Green Arrow. He goes so, like, if we're going off of the whole Red Arrow's
He's died
dead,
multiple times. He's been to heaven.
Yeah.
He's like one of the few superheroes like, I've been to heaven, by the way, guys. Yeah. Angels are cool.
So he's
one
Goku.
Up on everybody.
Yeah, he's Goku, yeah.
Yeah, he's Goku. He has a
halo
and everything.
Well, I feel like it would be a good story arc, and I mean, it could have already happened, if he starts just going so out of control because of Roy Harper and all of that, that he starts taking on villains that he is not capable of taking on. The Justice League is constantly like, dude, you need to stop doing this. Like, we're taking care of these, like, these are our villains kind of thing.
Like but Solomon like, Grundy?
But yeah. They're also like, you need to stop. Like, we're sorry that we let Roy die at Sanctuary. And Green Arrow's just like, I don't trust you to take care of the world anymore.
Yeah.
You weren't able to take care of Roy. Therefore, how can I trust you to take care of anyone else?
Dude, I could see that as a line. Like you couldn't even save my friend. How can you save the world?
Exactly.
Like, how can you even save yourselves? Like, dude, that would, let me tell you, dude, man, let me tell you something. Man, I would read the hell out of that. Dude, that is a pitch. You need to email somebody about that. That's one hell of a sale.
I got a better one.
I got another one.
Somebody so obscure, no one knows they exist, basically. And you get to play out the storyline of when Impulse came back, and he's like, why does no one care?
Oh, because it's like the one guy Impulse knew?
No. If you remember back when Impulse and Barry both died, Barry came back, everyone's got parades and all kinds of stuff.
I thought
Impulse came back and no one cared.
No, it was Wally who came back.
No, it was Impulse. No. It was Bart.
It was Bart Allen, yeah.
And Wally was the only guy alive at the moment.
Because I come back and no one cares that I was gone?
Yeah.
No, but Wally came back with Linda, Jai, and Iris. After Bart Allen had died.
He did. Mm-hmm. And that was a different thing. I'm talking about when Barry Allen came back. Barry Allen came back like a month earlier or something like that?
Something like that, and no one really cared. But then Barry comes back and everyone's like, oh, Barry's back, oh my God. Yeah. And he's like, what the hell, guys? Yeah, like, am I really that unimportant to you?
Oh, okay.
Who would be so obscure that'd be great?
That nobody cares that they came back? Or it'd be met with almost no fanfare?
Yeah. Who would be a good one to bring back and re kind of do that story?
But Maxwell Lord?
He came back and no one cared.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like, he led up Checkmate in New 52.
And I know he was part of the OMAC thing, but they still killed him off, I thought.
I think they could easily get rid of one of the obscure Bat family members, like Spoiler. Have them die, and like Tim Drake or someone's just like, so. Like, it's same world that Damian dies. Wait, so just because she's not part of the core family, we don't care that she's gone.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually that'd be kind of cool.
What if, I got a crazy pitch. This would have to be an Elseworlds story.
Okay.
Virus goes down, everyone under the age of 21 dies.
Wow, so it's like Children of Men.
Yeah, but like the sidekicks, all the kids.
Like in the world?
John Superboy.
Superhero.
So it's nothing but adults.
Yeah.
And they can't procreate?
They can't procreate anymore. Like all the kids are dead now.
Yeah, it's called like Justice League, the end of all things. That'd be awesome.
Actually, that would be great because we've got so many villains like Deadshot who basically live and are only somewhat good because they're like, I have to look out for my daughter. I have to make sure. And they're gone. They just go crazy.
Deadshot loses both his kids?
Yeah.
Officially? I think Rose and Jericho have died multiple times. But
you mean Deathstroke?
Yeah, I said Deathstroke.
You said Deadshot again.
I did not.
You did. You said Deadshot.
Don't team up with him.
You said Deadshot.
You're on my team. I'm on the couch with you, Rob.
Okay, you said Deathstroke.
This is a brotherhood right here.
Yeah. Couch friends.
Yeah. We're couch friends.
Couch buddies.
Okay, you said Deathstroke.
We're renaming. No longer is this comics experiment. This is Couch Buddies.
Couch Buddies.
Name would do better.
All of my parts are cut out. Couch Buddies.
It's just Couch Buddies.
Yeah.
Dude, we just look like we're talking to nobody.
Dude, a show with that name would actually do incredibly well.
Oh,
Couch
Buddies?
Just call it Couch Buddies.
Couch Buds.
Yeah. And then you could talk about anything besides comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couch Buddies.
Copyright. Yeah. Don't you take our stuff.
Yeah. Intellectual property.
There's like four cameras.
I know. I started to point to one. I'm like, crap. Which one is it? I'm not at this one anymore.
Gary, you got to turn a light on to which camera we point to?
Yeah. The Couch Buddies.
Gary, you guys can't see Gary, but he's sitting here like he's Lex Luthor. Like he's like, are they fucking done yet?
That's who I would kill. Lex Luthor. Have them kill off Lex Luthor.
That'd be fun.
One of the biggest villains.
Yeah.
All right. But nobody catches it.
He just because disappears.
Like, what if Superman does it?
He just vanishes.
Superman accidentally kills him.
And he just gets rid of the body.
He gets rid of the
Superman
body.
Superman dumps the body of Lex Luthor.
Could you imagine Superman's accidental killing?
Yeah. He accidentally kills him.
Oh, shit.
He realizes what he's done.
Yeah.
And all the other heroes are like, what happened to Lex? And he's just like, I don't know.
Have you seen him? Have you called him? Yeah. I haven't called him.
I'll go search around.
Like, let me help you with this.
Dude, he goes to like Batman. He's like, Bruce, you won't believe what happened. It's like, what? It's like, I accidentally killed Lex. Like, I don't know what to do. He was like, I'll help you. I've disposed of bodies before.
Like, that is a graphic novel in itself. It opens with Superman accidentally killing Lex, and the entire book is his own paranoia and anxiety of having actually killed someone, but he can't admit it to anyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
But not even like something like he somehow like punches him in his suit and he dies that way. No, like somehow he gets stuck in a building that Superman's like saving people from and accidentally hits a support beam on his way out. He gets out. He's like, I saved everyone. Someone's like, Lex is still in there. Turns around. Buildings come down. No one can see any bodies. He goes in, sees that Lex is dead, but no one else has seen the body. So he starts going, oh, he must have escaped through one of his teleporter tubes or went underground or something like that. Everyone just thinks that the body's gone, but he has to cope with he killed Lex Luthor.
Oh, this
he
is a did, story?
No, no, he's saying this should be.
Okay. I was like, this is like a fucking awesome story.
And so he's the only one that knows. Everyone else thinks Lex left. Exactly. So that would add to his anxiety and paranoia of, I killed my greatest enemy. I don't kill.
What if somebody
Justice
finds
League
out?
Doesn't kill.
Yeah, no,
and I'm
yeah,
always.
And, and he has to go team with Batman, the greatest detective.
Yeah, he's like, what if Batman was watching me? Like, what if Batman finds out? And the whole, okay, that's the whole thing. Like, their team ups and everything, it's just like background noise. The entire thing's just like inner monologues. Like, what if he finds out what I did? Like what if he, like,
and there's a shady thing happening. Turns out they're all trying to celebrate Superman's birthday, but he starts assuming, like, I think a movie did that.
Yeah.
But he starts assuming they're all planning to capture him because he made a kill, but they're all trying to plan for it.
Yeah. They're trying to take him by surprise.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're just planning his birthday party in the Watchtower.
So he just flies away from Earth and it's just like, well, where's Superman? And they're just like, they're all sitting in a birthday room and they're sad. It was like a giant
cake.
Did
no one tell him to show up?
Yeah. I thought you were telling him. It was six, right? Oh, crap. I completely forgot. I thought you were doing
Damn, Supes.
Yeah, can we write that would be.
Yeah, that would no. See, I like that idea of it being the building collapse on Lex Luthor. That'd be awesome.
Mopey says his paranoia gets to the point where he starts mailing himself letters, but in his sleep, I know what you did.
Oh
and
God!
Things like that.
He starts going all sentry on himself. Yeah. Like he's got a separate evil persona as he's going through,
he
and he's convinced himself that because he did that, now he is a villain.
Yeah.
And his subconscious is starting to take over.
The key to the book would simply be no one ever knows he did it.
No.
It's all his paranoia and anxiety. Everyone is acting normal, but he starts trying to read between the lines.
Yeah. God, that sounds like a fucking Jonathan Hickman story. It
ends with him finally like somehow framing Lex's body in a way that everyone thinks that he just died. And like the final page is just all of them at Lex's funeral. And he's the only one that knows how he truly died. And that's how they leave it up. No one finds out, but it's just nothing but Superman now has to live with he killed Lex Luthor.
No, I would end it with Batman.
Figuring it out.
With Batman figuring
Batman,
it out.
Batman figures it out, but Batman promises not to tell anybody. He pulls Superman in and he's like, we have to talk about this, otherwise you're going to lose control.
No, that's how it ends. No, hold on. He says that. Superman responds spilling the beans. And Batman's just like, well, I was going to talk about Martian Manhunter or something, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about you killing Lex.
No, it would just be like you have to talk about that. And then Batman would probably admit like he's done the same thing. Like on one occasion that nobody ever knew about, he took a life.
Yeah. He killed the Joker. We open up with just news reports. The Joker hasn't been seen in 3 years. The 3-year celebration of Joker missing. And everyone assumes he went missing. No one assumes Batman killed him.
I wouldn't even do that. It wouldn't even be anything as big as a Joker. It would be Batman would just be like, I accidentally killed a guy. Like, he just got caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
Like some
I
guys,
a civilian
guys,
I'm
or
the one that killed Jason Todd.
Yeah. it would just be like a miscalculation on Batman. Like he had his little batarang thing, whatever it is, and like
he
somebody
cut the
goes
wrong
to
wire.
Oh, like a Spider-Man Gwen Stacy thing.
No. Like he goes like
somebody he accidentally killed somebody.
Yeah, well no, it's his actions that lead to it. So like somebody he ends up throwing it and like the guy's gun moves and kills an innocent bystander. And it's like, if I hadn't thrown that batarang the right way, it wouldn't have killed that person. Like some kid or something like that. I don't know. It's like something where it would have an impact on Bruce Wayne. Because let's be honest, like Bruce Wayne probably wouldn't give a shit if like a bank robber died. He would be like, yeah, that happens.
Oh, he'd be like, oh, crap.
Yeah, he's like, he was kind of a dick.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
On to the next bank robbery.
Yeah. He wouldn't care too much. But like somebody who was innocent.
Yeah.
Like an old person or something like that. And it's like he's just
doing it with like a child that's leaving. Do the classic mess with like his origin. He accidentally does that, a gunshot fires and kills a child that walking with their parents from a theater.
Wow.
And
Batman,
so now he's
the next
like,
Batman.
What is...
Yeah.
No. That leads me to a different idea for a different story, and I'm going to pitch this one real quick. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Batman, the same night that Bruce... Then we can close out the episode, because I think we're at an hour, aren't we? Yeah, okay.
I was just
different, completely different story, but gave me an idea for another pitch. The same night that Bruce Wayne's parents got shot, so did someone else across town. He's grown up thinking that he needs to be the vengeance of the night. The other person did it through good deeds, charities, and basically is the opposite of what Bruce
he's
Wayne
like a
become.
Public Batman.
Right, and it's like, this is what you could have been, and this helps people.
And that guy
you just beat on mentally
killed.
Insane individuals.
Wow.
And then he accidentally gets him killed.
Yes!
Damn.
How many Black Label books can you write? Yeah. I want to write some books.
Because like, there's some really good ideas here.
All
Black
right, guys.
Label books.
Well, that is a perfect wrapping up point, I think, for this episode.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for watching this episode of The Comics Experiment. Be sure to follow us all on Twitter. I'm Dan T. Producer. He is the @ComicStorian. He is @ComicsExplained. We are supported by our Patreon, patreon.com/comicstorian, where for $1 you can get access to all of our podcasts early, as well as 3 videos a week. He's just going crazy over here. You can also support us here over on Twitch, twitch.tv/eligiblemonster, where we do film live stream the filming of this podcast, as well as many of our other ones, and we do this every Thursday at about 2 p.m. Eastern. So thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Arrowhead sponsors, please.
Yeah, we have a lot of your products here.
We like water.
Yeah.